Good morning. Great morning to you all. Welcome to News with My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush.
I'm DJ Ambush.
Right here on X-Ray FM. Thank you for joining us, man. Thanks for getting up early with us. What y'all doing?
Did y'all get up early? And by that, I mean in your life.
Oh, is this an early time for you guys? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay. No.
All right.
We'll leave it at that. I woke up late today, and I'm not doing all right. Waking up late for me is panicking, even when I'm prepared. Oh, man, I think I just remembered something. Okay. Oh, yeah. I did. So I'm struggling. I'm struggling, but I'm awake. I haven't done anything that I would normally do in the morning before I leave to come here. So I feel completely discombobulated.
That makes sense.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
None of it's the routine.
Yeah. All right.
So just I'm feeling a little thrown off. So when you tripped over your tongue, I was like, relatable content.
That was Winner that texted us.
Winner. Good morning. First message of the day. Good morning, fellow demon rat communist Antifa soldiers. And I just, you know, checking in. Roll call. For real, good morning. It's a great day to be a demon rat.
It is.
I think.
Oh, my goodness.
If you haven't heard, breaking news.
There it is. And this is why you tune in.
Nancy Pelosi.
Oh.
Former speaker, former Madam Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. Not a trad wife.
Okay.
Okay.
She earns her own keep.
Big ice cream eater.
Yeah.
Big Sub-Zero fridges.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do recall.
Yeah. Man, they did a bad job showing us all of that.
Jeez.
Anyway, she's announced, I don't know if you know this today, you know, in right now, Nancy Pelosi is 85 years old.
Oh, yeah.
She has announced her retirement, AKA will not be running again in 2027.
So she'll be 87 then.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Which is what Trump is raising the retirement age to. Just kidding.
I was like, wait, what?
Just kidding.
When you said breaking news, I thought you were going to talk about the different things that have happened in New York. You know, one of which is Zohar Mamdani invoking Shakira law.
Well, there, you know, there's a lot of mis and disinformation out there on these streets. And in Manhattan.
Not Manhattan.
I heard they were enacting Shaolin law.
Oh, okay.
And that the entire cabinet, Wu-Tang.
I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like Shaolin law could get behind.
Yeah, I bet you could get behind.
And I swear, it has nothing to do with our Wu-Tang tribute at the end of the month. It has nothing to do with that. I am not partial to any of that. Yeah, but I've spent some time. You know, I've done the research. I've done the me-search.
The me-search was done in the 90s.
I can get behind Shaolin law.
Yeah. Yeah, you're well-versed. You can tell anybody else about it, too. Let's get on the subway and talk about it, you know?
See you some incense.
Yeah. This text says, not the breaking news I thought you were going to give us, but I laughed out loud.
John,
good morning, John. Good morning, Michelle. Michelle said, good disoriented morning. Still recovering from daylight savings time. Just throws a wrench in all body rhythms.
Okay, so it's not just me.
No, it's all the bodies.
Why are we doing this? I'm with Brianna. Get rid of it.
Yeah, Bree said she would absolutely not recognize this.
Yeah, she doesn't respect it.
I will say this, though. She'd been up an hour earlier than she normally is. So, get up.
Something's happening.
This is one of those moments where a parent just turns around and walks away. Things are, everything's working out pretty good. Oh, my God. Oh, no, someone said they lost audio on their end. Are we still on?
Oh, no, they're back, yeah.
Oh, okay. To what?
Man.
Yeah, so... Antifa, I lost audio. Antifa is under attack. It's because they found our headquarters.
Yeah.
You know, and then met the girlfriend of the founder. And when you meet the girlfriend of the founder, all is going
hell
in a handbasket.
All is lost. She's got the passcodes for everything.
Yeah.
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 It's a wrap, bro.
She's got the passcodes for the things that, you know, the rest of us didn't even know existed.
Exactly. We're done for.
We're done for.
Yeah.
Complete attack.
Antifa out, man.
It really is getting me. Oh, okay. Last night, we saw an actual AI commercial.
My word. Oh, my days.
I'm so happy that you're responding this way, because when I tell you, Ambush and I are very much ships passing in the night right now.
Yeah.
I still love you. I think you're great.
I love you more.
but we barely see each other. We do not get a chance to even talk about just a regular thing. Oh, John said audio is good on the app, but not on the radio.
Okay, I'll double check to see what's happening.
As I tell this story, Ambush will work his hardest to figure out what's happening so we don't, you know, get fired or something. Yeah, so we're very much ships passing in the night right now. We don't get to even have, like, super basic, regular, how was your day type conversations. It's very much more like, hey, what's your tomorrow look like? On Thursday, after the news, can you do X, Y, or Z? So I come in the house. The video is, or the, you know, ad is playing. I look at it, and Ambush loses his mind. That guy has three arms. That guy has three arms. That guy has three arms. And I'm like, wait, what? And I look, and I'm like, wow. So they've just started. They've implemented it, you know, and they don't even... take the time to make sure that the third arm gets deleted. I don't know. So he's losing it. He's like, what is happening? It's like seeing two Cybertrucks in the wild. It's like, what's going on now? So I am looking at it like, well, at some point they were going to have to start implementing this, right? Not because I wanted them to, but isn't it just like us and large corporations that are here to exploit? Isn't it just like us to throw those ads up with the third, like we just tell on ourselves.
You told
and
them what
the
I
we
saw.
Here is, I guess, Americans. What'd you say?
You told them what I saw and how I reacted already?
The third arm, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a commercial. This isn't supposed to be sci-fi. I didn't tune into this commercial. Why is there a third hand there? I was so caught off guard.
Yeah, you were definitely shooketh.
I was like, oh, my God. Wow. It just seemed responsive. It was like a Norton ad or something. It was like some type of...
It was a Norton or a McAfee or it was something like,
what's going on? What are you guys doing? You went to,
we'll take care of your spyware. Yeah.
No, man. No. So we don't know what happened. I want to apologize to anyone that was tuning in on FM situations, and I'm grateful for everyone that is listening to us streaming, but something happened and I am not qualified enough. Excuse me, to figure that out. And the fact that we were on at one point and then it went off is, I don't even know.
Are you saying it's fixed or are you saying help? We need help.
Yeah, I'm going to You're gonna hit the Slack. But yeah, I don't know what's I don't have the degree for that one. That's a complicated rack out there.
I think maybe this is a great time for a music break, and then we'll come right back.
Well, all right. Where were we at? Okay. All right. We'll jump into a music break. And I have just a song. Just a song that would work. Guys, we'll be right back. Well, well, well. We are back. Are we back? John said we're back.
The streets is saying we back.
Okay.
On both. Streets. Okay.
I do love it.
Streets is saying we out here again.
Streets is watching. Streets is talking. Hey, you guys.
Hey, we're back.
And we're back.
It's News with My Fiance. Ambush and I held hands during Mr. Brightside. That's not true, but
I was gonna say, yeah. I was gonna add some type of seance something.
Oh, some flair.
I was gonna add some ceremony to it. I just couldn't get it.
On ceremony.
I couldn't get in there.
Mr. Brightside is such a good song. How could it end up like this?
Winner, we don't know. We don't know.
I think it was about, like, I don't know, a month or two ago. What is time? But, like, I saw a thread of two black girls going back, like, basically doing all of the lyrics of this, of Mr. Brightside, but in the way the two black girls would be talking to each other. Like, girl, you better call him a cab. And it's the kind of thing that I took, you know, there's probably like 10 different screenshots of, you know what I mean? And I have it and I'll never look at it again.
Right.
Like, I'll never find it. This is not the question of the day, but how many screenshots do you have in your phone?
I'm going to respond and say that's not a serious question.
I said it's not the question.
No. I don't mean like, that's a number no one wants to actually have the answer to. The fact that our phone has a completely separate category for a screen, I don't want to know what that number is.
Oh, I definitely do.
Cause that's a bunch. See, cause we screenshot differently. You screenshot, archive, and like you're farming.
Yeah.
I screenshot, forgot that I've screenshotted.
Yeah.
And then there's just a bunch of crap sitting in my phone.
Also same.
Embarrassing. I don't want to know what that number is. How many screenshots you got? Ooh. It's like how much trash do you have laying around on the floor?
Oh. How many times have you gone to the bathroom in your life?
Okay, let me explain what happened there just now. Because I know how that must have looked. I made a face. She asked me that question, and I made a face like she opened the bathroom door on me, because now I'm like, what? Like, part of me expected you to have an answer, in the average person. I was kind of bracing for that. Like, what is going on?
Sorry, it's from the 40-year-old version.
It was great.
Wait, is it? Is it that? Yeah. He's like, how many times have you gone to the bathroom in your life? And that's something that just like will randomly pop in my head.
Steve Carell?
Yeah, because where does that question even come from? I mean, he was definitely frustrated.
Right.
In the moment.
Right.
But how could it end up like that? You know, that here you are asking that question.
Stellar film.
Actually, the breaking news of the day really isn't breaking anymore, but Dick Cheney died.
It's true.
And I don't know what the rules are about speaking about the passed on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just say everything feels lighter.
What would you like for lunch? That's how I'd be seeing it on threads.
Yeah.
Such as I just passed, and I'm thinking about having a grilled cheese sandwich for lunch.
Yeah. Except for, I wasn't unbothered by that. I was hyped. Like, that was that yesterday or day before? Day before.
Day before, I think. Whenever Zoran won. It was the same day. Tuesday?
Are you sure?
I'm almost positive. Well, at least that's what I, yeah, that's how I remember it. It was like we got Dick Cheney out and Zohran in on the same day. I was seeing some threads.
So Dick died on the 3rd, which was Monday, but was announced Tuesday. Like, gotcha. I learned it Tuesday. Gotcha.
Super Tuesday.
Yeah, we did believe
it was indeed a Super Tuesday. Your face. It's Monday all over again. Why are there things ringing?
Okay. We do have to do this really fast. And then I promise we'll talk about what we're going to talk
Your
about.
Your face was like you tripped an alarm.
I was so confused just now. I painstakingly make sure that all the devices are no... There's no sound. I just scratched my arm and accidentally hit the phone. And the phone was right next to my ear and the microphone. And I'd like to take this moment to apologize to all of you fiancés and friends for having to hear me find a phone I wasn't looking for. However, on Monday, during our live broadcast, all of a sudden... A phone starts ringing. A phone starts ringing, a ring none of us have. And the noise is coming from an area that makes no sense.
Yeah, we still got a... What was that?
Well, and I'll tell you. Lily asked me, did you ever figure out what the mystery phone was? And I was like, oh my gosh, no. By the time the show is over, I completely forgot about a phone ringing.
Right.
And... She was like, we all had our phones, you know, like no, there were no phones of ours down there. So Ambush, I ask you, did you leave the ringer on your burner phone that I'm not supposed to know about?
No.
Tell everybody.
But something just popped in my head.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't think it's probable because the battery, I think, should have ran out by now, but there is an iPad that is in our camera bag on the shelf downstairs. If that's connected to any one of my numbers, which I don't think it is, but it could be, a call could have rang on that. But
still weird.
There's no way that thing could still have battery life. It's been months. And I'm pretty sure I turned it off last time I had it. And none of that occurred to me literally till just now as you're telling the story. Thinking about what is even over on that side of the room. And my iPad, the camera bag is all the way on the shelf by the wall. I don't know.
It was weird.
Right.
Yeah. None of us reacted as if it was, a threat. And the more I think about it, somebody could have just been frogging.
Oh.
So I just wanted to see your response.
Oh, no.
Is that not your worst nightmare? Or at least top five dead or alive nightmares?
It is.
That someone's living in your house and at the same time as you and you don't know it?
I've watched too many horror movies with that being the premise. The Boy, for sure.
Most horror movies are someone else living in your house at the same time and I don't know it.
I'll tell you right now. The fact that this is, at some point was some trend for the youths. He said, no for me, bro. Yes, it is the worst thing I could imagine happening, coupled with the most annoying thing I think someone could do to me. I would be so upset. If I stumbled across, like I saw like the door close real quick, like the closet door close real quick. I'm sorry. Get out now. Now, you and whoever else is in here with you. Come out, they got us. Everyone, now. Now. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah? So you can create some content? Is that what we're doing here?
I don't... You know how, like, there are people that say they steal stuff for the thrill of it? You know, like...
Yeah.
Well,
me in my 20s.
Okay.
You know? Everyone's had their 20s.
Well, okay. Yeah. Real quick, I'm going to go back. We're just going to hard pivot. I'm going to the text.
All right, fine.
This is important. Okay. And it may lead into a question of the day. This number is John, yeah?
Yeah.
John said, it bothers me that we're not supposed to speak ill of the dead, but somehow that also means we're not supposed to say they are a war criminal. Two things. Hard agree.
Yeah.
And I think I understand who told us not to speak ill of the dead.
Whomst?
I think it's the people that do the most killing.
Oh, the monarchy.
The most... the monarchy. Well,
is that where it started?
Probably. No one will speak ill of that guy Andrew or something like that. Yeah. You know.
Eesh.
But no, like you, the rewrite of history. So when you are the conqueror and you have killed a bunch of people, instead of it being this person is a war criminal,
right?
It's general that was liberating. A successful general, yeah. Liberated and mm-hmm. land mass, not the yeah. people living
a
on
regular,
the land.
A regular
mass.
Nandor.
So, like, is that what Andor is about? I gotta watch that show. So that's what, I mean, I think that's what it is. I think that it's, we are not supposed to speak ill of the dead because the oppressors have told us that we are not supposed to speak ill of them. They do not want their legacy tarnished.
Don't soil it.
Don't soil it. Yeah. That's how you even have a narrative of like, well, there were nice slave owners, yeah. right? Like my Nana Margaret would have never been mean. She was definitely, feeding them folk.
Yeah.
Can't talk about the dastardly things that we did because now we're dead and I can't defend myself.
There it is. Like, my word, they're not even here to defend themselves. There's no defense for what they did.
There's no defense for what they did, and they didn't defend it when they were alive. They just didn't face it.
No, not at all. Not at all. I realized when I said Nandor, you heard Andor. And you're like, oh,
Heard Andor. Yeah.
No, Nandor the Relentless.
You said Nandor the Relentless. Yeah. Yes. Well, I would have understood that if I heard it right.
Yeah, he's definitely quite the conquering. And we're just, I'm a little relentless here. Not as relentless as I normally would have been. So you probably shouldn't hold that village being burned against me.
Yeah. Any idea how old I am?
Right.
You know?
He was like, those are crazy days. Everyone
times
was doing
change.
It. No.
You don't pillage anymore.
Thankfully.
Well, it seems like it'd be getting done.
There's still some pillaging out here. Yeah.
Michelle said, the distance between Kamala's public servant post about Cheney and Mamdani's I'll never speak Cuomo's name again energy says a lot about the Democratic Party right now. If anybody's wondering, huge win. Still cooked. Like
cooked.
Huge win. Do you understand the panic? The sheer panic. It made Nancy Mamdani's win made Nancy Pelosi say, I've had it.
I am out of here.
That's enough.
I'm out of here.
That's enough. There's no way I can continue to fight this.
It's
from the inside. I'll have to do it from a think tank. I'll have to do it getting paid as a consultant.
Oh my God. Terrible.
But yeah, we're in a way. We're in a real interesting way because the centrists, the moderates, the let's still make everybody go a little bit more to the right because, if we get used to this fun fascism, it won't be so bad later.
Right.
It simply will not do. People are over it. It won't stand. We cannot talk about there's no time for platitudes. So I feel like the world is the world. Our world, mm-hmm. our little part of the world, mm-hmm. seems to seems to be understanding some of the grifts a little bit better than they did 10 years ago. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if a bunch of people died off and the younger people started, or if there's actual information getting to more people.
Yeah.
Which seems unlikely because of the heavily moneyed interest and campaigns of just distorting reality.
Yeah. I think there's two things. I think it's what you said. I think the information is getting out there. There's just so much of it that's available that even with the disinformation and the propaganda, just there's enough still getting through. You know what I'm saying? So there's that. Also, the grift isn't, this isn't like old school snake oil salesman's grift. They're walking around wearing uniforms that say, I worked at Grift USA. And the grift package I want to sell you is our Grift 2000.
The pack is Grift Pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, none of this stuff is, you know, covert. None of it. It's just in your face. So blatant.
Yeah.
They lie. Well, they make a claim and it's proven to be a lie, or their actions prove them, their claims to be a lie, so quickly that I've never seen anything like it. Like, honestly, like the way Mike Johnson never knows anything about anything.
Yeah.
On camera. And it's like, you know, you're saying these things into a microphone every single day. And it's not like, so I remember before, who was I talking to? They were like, man, I give anything to have Bush Sr. back in power. I said, you know why?
In
comparison to today, I said, you know why? I said, because then, I said, and I agree with you. I said, because then we had the privilege to be able to ignore what was happening because it wasn't in our face. This right now, man's just destroying the White House. Like, there's just certain things that are just like, who was it? Told me they're having there's a WrestleMania planned next year on the White House lawn.
What?
They're doing a WrestleMania or something next year. I'm like, this is what I'm saying. Like, where are we? Where are we? I'll tell you where we are.
Yeah.
Listen to X-Ray FM. That's where we are.
We're in Portland.
KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. There are so much Alice in Wonderland-esque things that are just like completely off the chain, happening at the exact same time every single day. That grift for what? It's just, what are we even, who's doing that? It's not a stop. We're just going to tell what we're going to do up front. And you're not going to do anything about it. Boom. The president said, if Mamdani wins, I'm withholding funds. That is tampering. That is election tampering. But this is what I'm saying. It's so blatant. But it's also not a big deal at the same time. It's not newsworthy at the same time. It's not nail this guy for something. There's no nothing. Yeah, this is.
I mean, the wildest thing to me is that this is ever how someone would want a president to act.
Hello.
Or anyone in charge. Like, if this person was my boss, I'm out of there.
Yeah.
I'm out of there.
Yeah. Anyone in charge, you're right.
You know, like, it's, you actually don't know what you're doing. And, okay, I can understand that there's a lot of bosses that don't know what they're doing. But you are especially dangerous. And, you know, I don't know how this is our reality. But I do know how it's our reality. So, it's a, sorry.
No, yeah.
I'm still disoriented.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah, because you should be. If you weren't disoriented, then that would be a problem, actually.
It's the thing is, like, the threats are so wild that, and it is so loud. And by loud, I mean the tantrum.
Right.
That the thing you're doing, that you're pretending you're not doing, that's the thing that's so loud. You're not flexing power. You look silly. You look petty. You look childish. And you look like you don't understand how any of this works.
Do you remember there was a time when the president used Twitter to egg on a nuclear war with China? Do you remember? Like, on Twitter. That's what he used Twitter for. We're so far past that.
Yeah, we are. Twitter is a wild situation now.
Right. We're so far. Like, if he were to do that today, no one would bat an eyelash. Yeah. George Sr. is like, everyone goes right back to sleep. There's no comparison between these two. George Sr. was a cowboy, wild cowboy. This one is of a different dimension.
George Bush was a cowboy?
I don't mean in any romantic sense.
Herbert Walker Bush?
You're saying he wasn't that wild? He wasn't off the chain of the things he was doing?
Oh, is that? I just don't understand what you're saying.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, whoa. Not that he's like, you know, he's mild by any sense. No, he was doing some wild stuff, man.
I just wanted to make sure I understood who you were talking about and what you're saying. Yeah, you talking about W's daddy.
Dub's dad.
Who used to work for Reagan.
Yeah.
So here's my thing. Mm-hmm. This is where you and I disagree.
Okay.
I agree with you that it wouldn't look or sound like this. Mm-hmm. The destruction is still, the harm, the destruction that they have done, still reeling from it, you know?
Oh, yes.
So it's like, that you're right about how they conducted themselves, mm-hmm. but like, this is my point of don't separate MAGA from Republicans or conservatives. Mm-hmm. This is the agenda.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, what this is proving is it doesn't really matter what the package is. Mm. And it doesn't matter how it comes out, as long as the destruction happens.
Yeah. You're going to receive it, whether it's next day air or a week.
There we go.
Next day air is coming. You're going to get it.
The plane might fall out of the sky, but it's happening. The delivery will be made. So, like, yeah, I hear that, but I, depending on the day or time, it's like what you would rather deal with. And many people say they'd rather deal with the devil they know, you know? And I get it.
But they don't know this devil.
Who? Trump?
Yeah.
They know him way more than they knew any other president that they've ever voted for, seen, or read about. Everything we know about Trump today, we knew about Trump before he was elected.
That's true. That's true.
All the things he did during his campaigns.
Yeah.
All the fraudulent and questionable and backroom. We knew that before. And by knew it, I mean not just that he was capable, but that he was going to do it.
Yeah. I would say the only thing his presidency has brought to light for me was the level of his incompetence. I hadn't had enough Trump interaction, engagement, social media, pop culture before now to know just how truly, truly childlike that man's brain is and how unsmart he is. I there was no way I could have known that, but he talks so much now that it's just like, wow, you really think you said a thing? Bigly.
If you would have ever paid attention to him and treated him as a serious person previously, you would have known.
I would have seen it.
And I'm not saying I did. Mm. I've never treated Trump as a serious person because introduced into. He was a joke in the culture to me.
Yeah, character.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Certainly, you know, any person that has a bunch of money is going to be a, what's it called? You know, a marker for for poor people, and they're going to use him as a, you know, a goal. Like, I got money like Trump or whatever.
Right.
That's the only good light I ever, you know what I mean? It was about him and money. Yep. It was never, he's great at business. It was, he has bread.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been a nothing to me like that. So I just hear him talk and it's the circus all the time. In an episode of The Apprentice, is like, this dude's the boss somewhere?
Right.
Mm. It's a confusing, like,
I've never seen it.
It's literally discombobulating to be like, you're in charge? And that's the thing, he's not. When you figure out the person that has the biggest title and the biggest paycheck likely does the least amount of everything in that, you know, scenario.
Yeah.
It's easier to see people for who they are. Sorry. Taking a long way around every block.
Malcolm said, good morning, fiance.
Good morning, Malcolm.
I woke up Wednesday excited for the show. Wanted to hear all the news and takes after Super Tuesday.
Oh, no.
Took me a while to realize it wasn't Thursday. And I had to wait another day of the world. It bummed me out. That's the impact y'all have on me. And the show has impact. Y'all have on me. This show has me.
Has on me.
Dang, man. With love, Malcolm.
Malcolm trying to make me cry this morning.
Thank you, Malcolm.
Malcolm, I woke up yesterday thinking it was Tuesday. And it wasn't until 7 p.m. last night on Wednesday.
Whoa, when I said the news? Yeah. So the whole day? Wow.
I spent the entire day caretaking for my parents. I had... Yeah. No idea. I don't know what day any day is.
Yeah. That literally could have been any day of the week.
Yeah.
Usually, if I'm having those types of situations where I don't forget what the day is, like early afternoon, something has happened, right? Then I'll forget again. And then that evening is going to be revisited upon me. Oh, right. Tomorrow is such and such.
For sure.
It's all melding together. All of it. It's ridiculousness.
John said, Reagan came with a mandate to diminish the middle class. Bush 1 and 2, as well as Clinton and arguably Obama, continued that mission. I do not say arguably. Add him right on in there. And now that middle class is basically gone. This administration is taking what's left. 40 years of this Schmidt show is how we pronounce it in Portland.
Yeah.
And we've had enough. Out with the old, in with the new. Power to the people. Shout out to John.
Right. I know that's right. Mom Dani! It's great. Oh, it's so good.
Michelle said, it's really wild how much the capitalist meritocracy myth requires you to just not notice. Yeah! I'm going to stand up on that one. It's that!
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that... Maybe that's, I don't know. I'm trying to think of how I have noticed some of these folks before we see it. Before the mass sees it. Because for real, I look at a lot of people going, well, how'd that happen? How'd you get that job? Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I know how you got that job. Like, you, there's.
But why don't you act like that's how you got that job?
Well, would you? You know?
A little humility would be nice.
It's one thing if you could just shut up about it.
Yeah.
And maybe just like pretend this wasn't a favor.
Right.
Or pretend this wasn't just like, you know. Oh, legacy gosh. Or whatever.
We get it. Your dad owns a dealership.
Good morning, P-Tam.
We get it.
Your dad owns a dealership.
We get it.
What are we talking about today, Ambush? We're all over the place.
We are.
We've got a few things.
Yeah.
In local news, Washington County has issued a state of emergency due to ice.
Yikes.
And Snap might be back.
Hmm.
Maybe.
We talked about money that they said they might. What was it 50% of what you know?
You know? And they've changed it already. You're going to get more of that.
All right.
More than 50%.
All right.
As you know, City Councilor Avalos's car, house, mm-hmm. her port were
engulfed in flames,
set ablaze. And so was this a total accident or we looking at some amateurish investigators
right.
around here? We did start to talk about it, but Zohram Mamdani had toppled.
Yeah.
Toppled the dynasty.
Yeah.
Andrew Cuomo has to move to Italy now.
And do a podcast about being Italian.
I thought we were asking him to go away. And what you just asked was for him to get a mic. And well, that is wild.
Well, I'm just predicting the future here. He's not going to go away. He's not. He's addicted to the spotlight.
P-Town said, why am I hearing this New York mayor is anti-Semitic? Well, I don't know how to tell you this, but...
That's what Cuomo wants you to hear.
When,
Oh, my God.
I don't even know how to make that joke. I was like... Cuomo just went full anti-Islam. And
yeah. He got nasty.
Full Islamophobia, and not just Cuomo, to be clear. The billionaires were spending buku bucks.
Yeah.
And we actually are. This is a story. We will get into it. Do we want to do a music break and then the first story?
Yeah. Did you see? I feel like you may have. I'm not sure. Because, I mean, we both catch a lot of the same Majority Report clips. But the AI ad with all like the tropes in it that Cuomo ran and they deleted it real quick. It was like during the debate, an AI ad went up that had like, this is why we're voting for Mamdani. And it was all like criminals.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, like there was definitely a pimp.
Yeah.
And it was like, like he did in the first, he's like, I'm voting for blah, blah, blah. Like,
and this is the reason why.
Yeah. And then it shows, zooms out and he's like, about to hit a woman or something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I was going to say that not just, you know, Islamophobe, but just like racist all the way around the way he ran this campaign. Like there's just, it's just nasty work. Nasty, nasty work.
Yeah.
But yeah. Let's definitely hop into a music break and we will be back with our main stories. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Right here on XFM. Join the conversation. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Again, that is 971-220-5979. There are moments when I am doing my job, when I'm doing this show with Morgan Jones. And it's like, I feel like, or I don't know, it's the closest I'm ever going to be to feeling like I'm on the cast of SNL and you're trying to get me to break a scene. Like there things that she does, not just like, hey, you want me to keep talking through that? Like, you know that I know that you know that I want to laugh right now.
Yeah.
And you're still, you get your, yeah. And yeah. You're still just,
You know, you're welcome, is I think the phrase I'm looking for. And that is because I've brightened your day, many times with my shenanigans.
You miss his bright side.
Hello. Call me a cab. Okay. I'm going to go have a smoke. Okay.
Oh, wowzers. Oh, my God.
Okay. We've got a lot.
Yeah. Give us Bob. I'm going to jump into the story right after that.
Okay. Maybe. Okay. Good morning, Bob. Bob said, I'm grateful to have lived long enough to see a new generation taking the helm of our republic. I won't be around in 50 years, so I say, let those who will be around in 50 years be the ones who decide what happens 50 years from now.
Hello.
Well, I read that wrong. Decide what 50 years from now looks like. Now, let's see if we can get AOC into what's left of the White House. Are we painting that White House something else?
What?
Oh, well, wouldn't, you know.
Paint it brown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down.
I'm down.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the, as we're getting into the Zoran story, one of my favorite things that I've consumed, pieces of content I've consumed, was Hassan Piker at the victory party.
Uh-huh.
Before they knew he won. He's talking about how nervous he is. So you probably seen it.
I haven't.
Oh, he's talking about how nervous he is. He's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it should be easy, but, you know, anything could happen.
Right.
And then when he wins, it's like who's who of political commentators that are all like, they're all like engaging there with each other, and they're there, and he's on cam with them. And it was hilarious. It was just so much positive energy. It was great. But yeah, I loved it. Oh, man. So guys, in local and national news, Zoran Mamdani's historic NYC win. Cuomo's comeback crashes and burns. Yay. New York City just flipped the script. Zoran Mamdani, 34, a Democratic socialist and organizing powerhouse, is officially New York City's next mayor. First Muslim mayor. Youngest in over a century. What are we talking about?
Hello?
First South Asian, first born in Africa. Let that sit. His campaign? Big, bold, unapologetically for the people. Rent freezes, free buses, universal health care, city-run grocery stores, Batman.
Nope. No. Reel it in.
Okay. I may have strayed from the script. You inspired me. Your writing is...
I'm just going to... Oh, well, first of all, thank you. Flattery gets you everywhere with me. We all know it.
Okay.
I think there would be no Batman needed in Zoran's Manhattan.
All paid for by making the wealthy and corporations actually pay their share. And I see that's where you are going. Billionaires, pay your taxes. Young voters, black and brown neighborhoods, and working class folks all over the city showed up, proving progressive politics hits different when it's real. Mamdani's transition team is already flexing. Yesterday, he announced the all-women group, including heavy hitters like Lina Khan, former FTC chair. Hello, Maria Torres Springer, ex-deputy mayor, and Grace Bonilla, CEO of United Way. With just 57 days until he takes office, he's signaling, ready or not, here he comes, even if a hostile Donald Trump tries to block federal funds. Meanwhile, Andrew Cuomo, 67, tried to make a political comeback less than 4 years after resigning in disgrace over sexual harassment scandals. Spoiler, it did not work.
Mm-mm.
Cuomo leaned on fear and nostalgia for the old New York, resting on anti-Islamic indoctrination, throwing out wild claims, painting Mamdani as anti-Israel and anti-Semitic, with literally zero evidence. From AI smear videos to racist 911 insinuations, the entire campaign was a pathetic rerun no one wanted. Even the last-minute Trump endorsement couldn't save him. Cuomo got 41% of the vote, over 1 million ballots, but Mamdani crushed him citywide with over 50%. That's half-century political dynasty. Screeching to a halt.
Gone.
Out here. Election night, the Ziegfeld Ballroom said it all. Cuomo tried to frame this as a moral victory, bragging about a coalition of Republicans and moderate Democrats. But the crowd wasn't having it. Chants of shame on Sliwa and loud boos drowned out his spiel. Voters young and old made it crystal clear. New York City is ready for a new era, and it ain't Cuomo's. Analysts and former colleagues point to what we already knew. Cuomo's obsession with beating his dad's record, his control freak tendencies, and refusal to own his failures finally caught up with him. Mamdani's win isn't just personal. It's generational. As he said on Victory Night, we have toppled a political dynasty while promising a city hall capable of actually delivering on promises. New York City has a new mayor, and Andrew Cuomo's comeback ends not with a bang, but with a hard lesson. The future belongs to people willing to break with politics of the past. Man, oh man, oh man.
So real quick, I'll say to P-Town, the reason that you heard that Zohran Mamdani is anti-Semitic is because he is Muslim. Because he was born in Uganda.
Yep.
Because he is brown. Because he has a name that they are unwilling to respect. Like, it's just a part of the game. It's a part of the playbook. That's all. He is not. Has not been. There is no scandal that was, you know, uncovered.
Yeah, yes, no nothing, text messages.
Nothing unearthed. There is nothing because, unfortunately, and you already know this, and so this is for everybody else. Unfortunately, the weaponization of hatred that oppressors have been able to do and reframe what that harm looks like when they do it versus, you know, someone else. But the weaponization of hatred, there is this way that, and very especially white folks that have been in positions of not just power, but in the understand their power in the power dynamic, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Actively wielding it
and going like, I'm rubber and you're glue. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's why there's no there. And thankfully it didn't work. Thankfully it, you know, wasn't a talking point that they could really do too much with.
Despite their best efforts. Yeah. Didn't stop commentators from asking him over and over again. They just got so whooped with his answers that it was like, we got to let this one go. We can't keep asking him about.
And I don't even know if they let it go. You know, maybe they just stopped clipping it out.
Yeah, maybe. No gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to say a couple of things because, like, yesterday you were like, yo, he announced his transition team. This is what my team would look like. And you showed me a picture. And mostly women of color, but all women.
Yeah. What are we doing? Of course my transition team would be all women. What? Give me somewhere to transition right now. So I put my team together. What am I transitioning into? What are we doing? What's the next thing? Huh? All women, transition team. Boom.
It's a smart move. And if you have Lena Khan anywhere near you, you are maybe one of the luckiest people because...
She don't play.
She does not play.
No. No, she doesn't.
And I'm talking about me for us.
Yeah.
She cares about us. Like the difference is huge.
And I guess that's what I was saying a little bit earlier about how, like, you can't even call it a grift. It's just like strong arming. The things And also, of course, the way that we have access to information now. The FTC chair, the way she spoke about the things that she was trying to do, the barrier she was putting in place to protect consumers, right? Mm. I think I grew up knowing about the Better Business Bureau, right? And that was probably the extent of any consumer protections I was aware of. Mm. Also, at some point, it was like, even they, we understand, have been compromised in some ways.
Yeah.
But here we are. Here we are. I could put a face to who the FTC chair is. She's actively out there talking about things, even while she's under an administration that she knows she's going to get fired soon. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So you understand the value of that position. You understand the dynamics of the decisions that are being made and how that trickles down across so many different industries. And like, man. And then here she is on this man's transition team. Like, yeah, that's someone obviously that the work's there. It's we've seen it. We know you care. Right. I don't have to question that, you know. But now she's in big money, so maybe she'll switch up on us. Mm-hmm. That'll be the next thing, right? How much is he paying these people?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the next thing might be something else. P-Town said, so the veteran elderly Jewish man just watching Fox? I will say he could have been watching MSNBC, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS.
Boom. Yep.
Any single one of them.
Yeah.
He could have been watching KATU in Portland. Whew. Shout out to Sinclair.
Bang, bang.
Because the fact of the matter is it is commonplace and it is normal. Islamophobia is hella regular degular. It's as regular degular as anti-blackness.
Yep.
And they and if you are not, impacted, it is absolutely understandable that you do not know that and don't see it. You know, like the way that establishment media will talk about any Muslim. Mm. Is very much on some of one of the good ones.
Yeah.
Here I have one of the good ones with me today.
Bruh.
There are people right now. I mean, the when I say the billionaires came out in droves to stop Mamdani, I mean droves.
Yeah, and which one didn't show up?
Which one didn't show up?
That's a shorter list.
The New York mayor. And the billionaires were descending from their mountaintops. Like, let me get some millions in this race.
Right. I got to get involved.
Someone's got to say, not on my 9/11 watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone said, how long till they equate his all-women transition team with Gaddafi's all-women secret service team?
Lord!
I'd say in 5, 4.
You've said it. Now it's happening.
Yeah, real talk.
Oh man, that's absolutely gonna happen.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Shout out to whoever that was. That's real talk right there.
Winner said, "Brown House would go crazy."
Brown House would go crazy. For real.
What up, Dibs?
Well, let me get to this little the snap story.
Okay. Oh yeah.
If and you don't mind.
I don't mind.
So after days, weeks of panic and confusion about how families were supposed to eat during this record-breaking Trump government shutdown, the administration now says that SNAP recipients will receive 65% of their November benefit instead of the 50% they originally promised. And if you're looking for a translation, that's still you're getting shorted.
Yeah, yeah.
But not quite as badly as their guesstimate before.
You think they're going to hold out for like a holiday and release the rest? You're like, yay, see, present for you. Present to you.
It is the month of the most propagandized lie-ass holiday.
Yeah.
and that is literally built around buying food. And then on the very next day, you should go spend all your money on Christmas presents.
All of your bread, bro.
The fact that this is even happening right now during the holiday season in America.
Hmm. On purpose.
I just can't wait for the behind the music on this one.
Yeah.
You know, like I just cannot wait.
On purpose. This is how y'all conduct the SS.
For what? Who in big grocery really kicked off Trump's team?
Come on, know? A perfect union. Deliver. Because
it's going to be something so silly that it, you know, just harms all of us. Yeah. And it's going to be like, well, I don't like the way that that guy talked to me.
Yep. Yep.
Anyway, this change came out in a late night court filing where the USDA basically said, our bad, that was an error on the 50% part. Apparently, they discovered the mistake, fixed it as soon as possible, and sure, you know. Meanwhile, millions of families are relying on SNAP benefits. They've just been sitting here waiting for clarity, watching their grocery benefits vanish while politicians play shut down chicken. And here's what 65% could look like. So a family of four would get about $640 for the month.
Okay.
That is not enough money to feed everyone.
No.
But it's enough for the administration to claim that they're doing something, that they're helping, that they're making sure that nobody is going hungry.
Quick question.
Answer.
Okay, that's awesome. When we're talking about these benefits, we're talking both EBT and cash, right? We're talking, I mean, both food and cash benefits, right? Is it like half of both? If you receive both, you're getting half of whatever your amount is for both, or do we know?
I do not know that. That's a fantastic question.
Okay.
I don't know when we talk about SNAP food. Mm-hmm. I know that you can get food and you can get cash.
Right.
I do not know about the cash.
Okay. I mean, I'm glad that we have, you know, everyone stepping up to provide as much food as possible and, you know, to fill in these gaps. But I was also wondering if, you know, this, are they withholding the money as well? Or are they talking about 65% of that? Like, I'm curious because people are paying bills with this money.
Yeah.
You know? Okay.
Well, the shutdown is now in day 37, the longest in U.S. history, and the chaos is only spreading. Some states are stepping in with emergency funds, trying to keep families fed, while the federal government holds essential services hostage. Trump's team wants credit for catching a math error, but the real story is millions of poor and working class people wondering how they'll be left hanging, how long they'll be left hanging. 65% of your benefits is still 35% short of a functioning government.
So if they can make payments at 65%, why can't they just make them 100%? It's already not enough money to feed yourself or your family.
So the short version is poverty is a policy choice.
Hello.
These are decisions we are making.
That's what John said in the text.
And they can make the payments at 100%. They are choosing not to.
Yeah, great.
SNAP funding is already authorized by Congress. It's one of the most effective anti-poverty programs we have. But during a shutdown, federal agencies can only spend essential funds or what's in their emergency reserves. The Trump administration could have prioritized fully funding SNAP out of contingency or discretionary funds. They've done it before for things like farm subsidies, border enforcement, corporate bailouts. But what's really going on is it's about optics and control. And the administration is using hunger and fear to put pressure on Congress and make the shutdown feel urgent for the public. Poor people become pawns in yet another political negotiation. It's also about punishment. Trump and his allies have long painted SNAP recipients as lazy or dependent. So cutting benefits fits their worldview.
Yeah.
It's absolutely cruelty disguised as fiscal responsibility. And that is the conservative brand. It's also about power. Keeping benefits partial, they maintain leverage. See, we tried to help you.
Yep.
But our hands are tied.
Hey, man. Those Dems.
Meanwhile, billions flow to defense contractors and border militarization without interruption. SNAP was already nowhere near enough. Like, and the average benefit works out to be about $2 a meal per person. So when they say 65%, that's not a compromise. That is a catastrophe. And be very clear that this is all choices. This is all literally poverty is a policy choice, and they are choosing hunger for us.
Period. Period. Yep. Oh, my goodness.
A single person's maximum benefit is $295. Thank you, P-Town. Yes.
Like, what are we doing with that? What are you doing with that?
A month of food. We all know.
In this economy?
In this economy?
With eggs at this price? No.
With everything at this price.
Right.
I'm grocery shopping for my own household, for my parents' household. Mm-hmm. We eat different things, you know, like, so I'm seeing prices for stuff that have always been just regular staples of your pantry or your fridge. That are outlandishly expensive now. Or the other thing is so expensive that you can't get a regular, like, you know, something that used to be a treat for you. Now you don't get to get it.
I cut some corners.
You see a lot of people talking about the choices people make with their SNAP benefits and what they buy and eat. Not enough energy going towards why they would need that SNAP benefit in the first place.
With a full-time job.
With a full-time job.
Right. Right.
Not enough energy for the companies that get subsidies for this. It is no question. There is no... The entire myth that, you know, these large corporations create jobs that are then going to benefit the community in which they come in, a myth that has been long dispelled.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do we even call it a myth? I think it's just a capitalist lie. It's just part of the capitalist toolbook to be able to, you know, continue on with this.
Yeah. John said, not only is SNAP effective, it puts $1.50 into the economy for every dollar SNAP given. They're trying to crash the economy.
They are definitely trying to crash the economy.
Yeah. Somebody said a single can of beans costs $2.50 now.
Fam.
What? Yo, that is wild. Wild. What do you mean?
I'm not even being funny. The other night I made dinner and I needed corn. Can of corn. $2.89.
It's a can of corn.
It's a can of corn. It's a can of corn.
That's $2 over what I used to pay for this stuff, man.
It's a can of corn.
It's a can of corn. It's canned corn.
If I could have made it to, I don't know, Winco or something, then maybe it would have been less than $2.
Oh my God.
But like, what are we talking about? If you're, and that's back to P-Town's point of a maximum benefit. Being $2.59 or $2.95. I can't remember. I'm dyslexic. Either way, it's under $300, right? Yeah. So you, as a single person, and there's going to be somebody out there right now who says, I would never spend $300 on groceries. You know, I'm a single person and I would never spend $300 on groceries. My budget is $175 and I stick to it. And blah, 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 blah. Like, fantastic for you. Amazing for you.
Let me know how 2004 is.
Fam!
Because, what?
I have absolutely no idea how you could even...
Nah. Not a thing. Not a thing.
And we want to talk about these folks being lazy, or that they want to eat some chips.
You're buying shrimp with your.
There are so, but like the, I just have to say this, and then I'm going to shut up so that you can read the text. Mm-hmm. The disconnect of what, you know, people, kill the cop in your head always, but right. Like the fact that people want to police what poor people eat, don't even have the understanding that what they are able to buy has been heavily lobbied.
Right. Right.
Why do you think that they can't get hot food?
Did you ever question if they have access to fresh produce in their community? Do they have grocery stores in their neighborhood? And I'm.
How do they get to the neighborhood that does have them?
Right.
Without the money for public transportation, yep, or a car?
Yep. How are they treated when they get into those neighborhoods?
Hello.
Like, come on, bruh. Come on.
There's also the point of like, assuming that people can go into a grocery store and buy ingredients and then go home and make something with that is a right. big assumption.
Right.
That's a big assumption. Does everybody know how to cook a healthy, fresh meal? And I need you to be serious when you think about that.
Right.
There's a lot of people that cannot boil water. There's a lot of people that cannot make an egg. No shade. Yeah. I'm saying.
Yeah. So without a microwave. Right, people are not eating.
Right, so what good does it do that this person is going to be able to get, can go buy anything?
Right, and they go home and it just spoils. Like, what are we doing? Yeah.
I'm currently watching my dad buy steak every other day and then just go home and cook it.
Fry it up.
Completely beyond, you cannot eat it. I'll tell you this right now, my mom will be the first one to tell you, I don't eat shoe leather. And that's what that man made last night. You know,
Sherry.
My mom's one of the funniest people on the planet. Sherry, and it's all accidental.
I do not eat shoe leather.
And that's what he made for dinner. Okay. Get to the text. Said,
when there's nothing to eat, it's time to eat the rich.
Hello? Hello? Because when my heat stopped working and my heat. Okay.
I'm gonna sneak start leaning. What'd you say? What's going on?
Listen, they are creating the conditions in which they make you need to steal, rob, do, you know, like whatever it is that you need to do to survive. And then they're like, gasp, the thugs.
Dipset.
You are literally starving us. Sorry.
Dipset, bring back home economics classes.
Dibs, you are literally reading my mind because I almost started there with the fact that people can't cook. I was about to be like, yo, we don't have home ec.
Yeah.
Like, can anybody?
What did you learn to cook in home ec?
The very first thing I learned how to cook was scrambled eggs.
Okay.
That's what they taught us. Okay. I already knew because I'm an only child latchkey kid.
Yeah, I'm going to have my ass.
Well, my dad was like, you're going to have to feed yourself. Here's a few things that I know you could do without burning the house down. So he taught me how to make scrambled eggs.
Okay.
But that is what I remember first learning in that class, mm-hmm, food-wise. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I don't know. Like,
thinking about that today. With the prices of eggs, could they afford to teach that?
Thinking about the way we used eggs in home ec.
Oh, my God.
They were babies. They were food.
Everything.
They were. We used eggs in science. Yeah. We used. Did you have to do the fake baby and you take care of a baby?
We didn't because I went to that Christian school and.
Well, so, I mean, I feel like that's where you should be learning it the most.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, ladies, start now.
They're like, no, not until you're married.
Well, yeah. But like you're meeting your husband here at this private Christian high school.
After you're married, not only do you learn how to take care of a baby then, you also learn about sex. Then, because what need do you have for it until you're married? There's no use for sex until you are married.
Well, certainly,
get that out of your head.
I was talking about, but
yeah, and when you learn how to, how to raise a baby, your Christian mother will show you the ropes. Dr. Spock book. We're good to go. First thing I learned how to cook in home ec, was an omelet.
Boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I wonder if I learned how to make an omelet in home ec. I don't know that I don't know. I'm remembering more of the other stuff. Sewing. Mm. Like I remember learning how to make a pillow and a formed thing. So we made like a football and a star and, you know.
Y'all was doing those
kind of pillows.
Y'all were making some real real skills there.
No, literally. Mm.
We did learn how to like do like a hand stitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fix a patch on.
You'll be able to patch a pair of jeans or put a button back on.
Putting buttons back on.
Yeah.
Come on, that's a skill set.
That is.
Yeah.
Bring back home ec. I would never be a trad wife, you know. But I would teach home ec. That would be fun.
I like it. Yeah.
Whew. There's a whole lot of text, and I'm not going to be able to get all the way through that. I do want to get I don't know. What did we do already? Yeah, I was like, should we do the quick? Because it's quick.
Yeah, I'll do the ice story.
Hit him up. Bam. Is that what you meant when you said I'll do it? You'll read?
I said I'd.
Oh.
As in that would be the choice I would make.
Okay.
And now I'm here. Washington County just dropped a state of emergency.
Bong.
And no, it's not because of wildfires or a snowstorm. This one's about ICE. And the way federal immigration enforcement has been turning everyday life in Oregon's most diverse county into a climate of fear. I'm catching on your double entendres here.
And I am out here. Thank you.
Over the past month, at least 135 people were arrested here in October alone. And that's nearly half of all immigration arrests in Oregon. And we're not talking about anonymous numbers. We're talking families, neighbors, people lawfully living in the U.S. who now feel they can't even leave their homes without risk of detention. The county's response, they've unlocked $200,000 in emergency funds to support community organizations, helping residents impacted by this enforcement surge. Groups like SOAR, Immigration Legal Services, are already seeing the pressure firsthand. Over 100 calls a day, reports of ICE breaking car windows to make arrests, and residents skipping work, school, and doctor's appointments because fear has become part of daily life. Commissioners made it clear they're limited by federal law and can't just stop ICE, but they're trying to do what they can. Some are pushing for stronger measures like protections against evictions or utility shutoffs to soften the blow on families caught up in this chaos. Others are treading lightly, worried about federal pushback and safeguarding federal dollars. Bottom line, this isn't just paperwork or a press release. It's a lived reality for thousands of Washington County residents. Fear, stress, and disruption are being used as tools of enforcement, and the county is scrambling to provide some relief while still technically following the law. Nasty work. Nasty, nasty work. Shout out to Washington County for, you know,
doing what they can.
Doing what they can. Because this is a state of emergency. Not to be taken lightly, any of it. Ugh.
I wish that, you know, we were able to act a little quicker with certain things.
Yeah.
I wish that, you know, these are all choices and policies that may have fit, may have worked at some point, and this is me being incredibly generous and but maybe they fit, maybe they worked at some point and they don't anymore. Those kind of things have to get changed. We don't have enough of a modern update to a lot of rules, regulations, you know, policies and procedures. And we haven't been faced with some of these things in the same way.
Yeah.
It's the money just sitting somewhere for me. Like, oh, that's our contingency fee and you can only use or fund. And you can only use that when there's an emergency. But then in order to access that, you have to declare a state of emergency. There's got to be so-and-so days before you can do that. There's got to be, you know what I mean? Like, we have to get serious about taking care of people yeah. instead of profits. We just have to be serious about that and carry that through in everything.
We got all this money for ICE agents. Every local election.
All, exactly.
All this money to hire all these ICE agents.
They out here getting $50,000 bonuses, y'all.
But you can't fund SNAP.
I mean, honestly, make it make sense that, okay, the government is shut down, so you're not going to do any payments. Well, we'll do some. And we won't be able to do it to full capacity. Why? Because we decided.
Right. Because that's the number we
Because we're not going to spend money on that right now, is basically what they're saying. I can't get over that.
No.
I can't get over, like, if that doesn't radicalize you, the government doesn't need to be shut down and they're choosing for it to be shut down.
Right.
And then all of the fallout that comes from that is just they're a choice. No matter what the reason behind it. If it's one person's reason is they're going to run on it later and they're, you know, another person's reason is to stay in the seat they're in or whatever. I don't care. No matter the reason, people are dying. We are not in, we don't have wiggle room.
Right.
There's no wiggle room. You have exhausted, you have stripped away, you have stolen all of our wiggle room. We cannot afford to eat. We cannot afford to live or to pay rent, pay a mortgage. Who owns a home? Maybe that's the question of the day. Who owns a home and how old were you when you got it? And who helped you to get it? Because we're in a way where that's not a thing for people in my age bracket, not a thing for people in the age brackets beneath me.
Right.
Shout out to New York. I'm happy to see. Like, I hope that we do not encounter, which what we will exactly encounter, but I hope that there is.
What's that?
The obstruction.
Okay.
The now we've got this person. And then everybody, and I do mean everybody, I mean the people on your own team.
Yeah.
All of a sudden have
doubts.
Oh, can we do that?
Yeah, the media is about to do a swift turn. Nothing but criticism for the next however many.
I mean, we here in Portland, you know, outside of the world thinks this is super unique. And I'm telling you that this is everywhere.
Right.
We here in Portland absolutely understand the how many times have we lived through? We did it. We elected the person or we got the policy. We did the measure. We are so excited. And then they don't enact.
Yep. Got it on the, fought to get it on the ballot. On the ballot, we voted for it. Everyone wants it. Doesn't get funded.
They don't fund it.
And then people say, look, we voted for something that didn't work. Let's not do that again.
Gonna have to try the thing we know doesn't work again.
Yeah.
And this time, give it more money.
Also, cops.
So I'm just hopeful that that's not what happens in New York.
Yeah.
I am hopeful because without that, I think I would just stop paying attention to everything.
My hope is that we'll continue to see him being loud and very clear about what the dynasty has been trying to do and what they're going to continue to do to, you know, obstruct him. Like,
yeah,
he just makes it really plain. And I just, you know, I'm appreciating seeing, looking forward to more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much, man. We made it.
We did it.
We made it. Yeah. This is another News of My Fiance, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush and our illustrious podcast editor, Kyle G of Residual Audio.
Ba, 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 ba.
I've updated the playlist and Kyle's going to make sure we get all of the texts in the description.
Y'all active today. Thank you.
Yes, very, 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 very. Thank you guys so much. Definitely, if you know you're looking for some things this weekend that are popping off, you can definitely check out my social media. I'll be sharing some stuff from News of My Fiance later on today. You know, if you're looking to check out some cooking with Am, there's an opportunity. is an opportunity.
It's an opportunity to eat some cooked with ham.
Hello. Hello. But you know what it is? Don't let the individual distract you from the systems. Poverty is indeed a policy choice.
Hello.
People over profits, power to the people. None of us are free until we're all free. Thank you so much. Stay tuned for Tom Hartman, and we will see you Monday night, 6:30 to 8:30 on the YouTubes.
No word but class word. Bye.